Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Local Shop Podcast. I'm Chris Noyce, and this is the podcast, as always, for everything to do with the convenience sector and the issues facing local shops. On this episode of the podcast, we've got a great discussion about carers with Emily, Emma and Sally from Alzheimer's Society, from Company Shop and from Carers UK. So please stick around for that. And we're also talking about Sunday trading a little bit later, and we'll hear James talking about that to local radio stations. First up, though, one thing really to update you on this week is about test and trace. That is obviously live. The government are now feeding back in figures about the people that have been contacted through the test and trace system. And there have been some, been some additional feedback from retailers about how that's working. One thing that was really important, I think, is worth raising here is that on Thursday evening, the Health Secretary gave the daily press conference. And in that press conference, in response to a member of the public raising a question, he said that if businesses are COVID secure, so if they are following social distancing, they're doing all those things to make sure that their business is safe, if a member of staff or a member of the public or whatever tests positive and they are then talking about the people that they've been near and all that sort of thing, it shouldn't mean that the whole business or a whole shift or whatever it might be has to go and self-isolate. The health secretary was very clear about that. So if, as a retailer, if you get a call from someone who's a contact tracer about someone that's tested positive and asking others to self-isolate, just be very clear with them that if you are following the COVID procedures, you don't need everyone to self-isolate because you won't have come into particularly close contact. So please bear that in mind. Also, just get in touch with us if you get contact and you get asked to do that, because we can certainly escalate that for you. Probably the best contact in the first instance is probably Ed. So contact edward.woodall@acs.org.uk for that. As you may have seen this week, we've launched some new guidance which aims to help retailers support unpaid carers. Now, these are people that don't necessarily want to identify themselves. They could be caring for elderly people. They could be caring for those that are more vulnerable. They could be caring for other family members, those with disabilities. But supporting carers is really important, especially as we come to the end now of Carers Week and keeping up the momentum of awareness about carers. So let's get straight into the main discussion of this podcast. Right then, joining me now is a group of people that are much better versed in talking about this subject than I am. We've got Emily from Carers UK, we've got Emma from the Alzheimer's Society, and we've got Sally from Company Shop. Hello everyone, how are you doing?
Morning.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
Very well.
So I'll come to each in turn. Emily, first to you. Can you give us a bit more about what Carers UK does? And of course, this has been an especially busy week for you, hasn't it?
It has. It's been incredibly busy. So Carers UK is an organisation of carers, unpaid carers, people who care for their elderly, older, ill or disabled relatives. And that's most of us at some point in our lives. And there are about anything between 6.5 million to 13.6 million, we think, now, this week, people who are providing unpaid care. And a lot of people just do a few things, supporting people at home, might do a bit of shopping, a bit of collecting of medication, arranging of different things. But some people do 24-hour care 7 days a week.
Great.
360 a year. What we do is we provide information and advice, and we run something called Carers Week, which you mentioned, which is an awareness week where we're trying to raise awareness of people who feel very hidden. They often don't see themselves as unpaid carers and yet have quite a lot of challenges in their lives. The services around them and the communities around them and their ability to connect with them is so important. And at the beginning of this week, we brought out some new research which found that as a result of coronavirus, we think there could be an extra 4.5 million people doing this.
Wow, that's a huge number, yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge number. And everybody's had to learn different ways of doing things. But when you're caring for somebody with a disability or an illness, you're obviously very worried about will they stay safe? How do we manage? There are different challenges that you have to think about. And that's where we've seen a number of people having real challenges in accessing food and shopping. But that's also where we've seen local convenience stores as well, helping people being very close to home, more accessible for some people, and a good connection for families as well, when you can build up a relationship and get to know people.
Yeah. So, I just want to bring in Emma quickly. So you mentioned that obviously caring for people with a range of disabilities and needs. Obviously Alzheimer's and living with Alzheimer's isn't necessarily always immediately apparent. How important is it that carers and the people living with things like Alzheimer's are recognised in the community when they're doing what they need to do, Emma?
Yeah, completely. So people with dementia, it's a progressive condition which affects your different parts of your brain and your memory and your ability to potentially speak and kind of process information. So as kind of dementia progresses, you will be quite reliant upon a family member or carer. So what we found during the current crisis is that people with dementia rely very heavily on somebody. Potentially their carer will need to go with them to the shop to help them shop. Potentially the carer cannot leave them at home, as it might be dangerous, or they might need to have medication or food. And so we've seen that carers are potentially forgotten. They aren't getting the same support that potentially other groups are. And because they're so reliant on helping that person's needs and kind of making sure that they're well, and it's another thing to worry about. And it's come across as understanding of carers has been quite mixed during this time. And we've had quite a lot of responses and kind of insights from carers on how they feel potentially forgotten and they feel that they haven't got any help. So it's really lovely to work with the Association of Convenience Stores and other supermarkets to just make sure that we just don't forget about those who care for somebody.
Yeah, definitely. So Sally, it'd be great to hear a bit more just about, first of all, about Company Shop, because it's a fascinating business, but also how you're dealing with making sure that carers are supported, because it can be quite difficult, especially at the moment with everything going on with lockdown and all the rules and regulations and the restrictions, how your business is working with carers and supporting the people that they're caring for.
We are a Company Shop and we have large retail format stores to whom we allow access on a membership only basis. So typically people within food manufacturer, the emergency services. We have recognised that the carers we have missed as a membership group is not something that we've sort of included in our membership before. But we realise that it's hugely important, especially at this time, along with some of the other key worker groups, to make sure that they have access to deeply discounted food, because we sell food that is perfectly good to eat, but it's classed as surplus, so it could be just an overweight product, an underweight product. It could be something where it's not quite to spec, so the retailer doesn't want that product for whatever reason. But it means that we can offer that product at like 50-odd%, if not more, off. So it means that people who are on lower incomes, which I know that that often is the sort of carer's field, they are often, they haven't got a lot of disposable income. It means that they can now come and shop with us and save, a vast amount of money really on their weekly shop for themselves and the people that they're caring for. And we have had a huge uptake in membership from carers. So it's been brilliant to actually open up our membership and sort of support in that area where we can.
That's great. And Emily, I suppose for a relationship like with Company Shop, where it's a membership organisation, it's a bit more easy to identify who carers are, but more generally
is that a
struggle when carers are shopping? Do they not necessarily want to identify themselves?
Absolutely. I just wanted to thank Sally actually, because there are a lot of people on very low incomes and really struggling, and 81% have seen extra costs go up, so anything we can do to cost down for people is really important. But it is hard for people to identify themselves as carers. So first and foremost, you consider yourself to be a partner, a husband, wife, son, daughter, brother, sister, good, close friend, grandchild. That's who you see yourself as first. And people see them doing this as part and parcel. It's part and parcel of life, really, of looking after somebody. But when it becomes something that is a little bit more difficult, that's when people need help. And although the NHS has a nice clear logo and many people have badges who work in the NHS. The same is not true of unpaid carers, family members, who they don't necessarily always have something to identify them. There are what some local authorities have done have been to issue letters. Some areas run different identification schemes, like carer passport schemes, like Hertfordshire, and there's a carer's card in Brighton and in East Sussex, and in Durham as well. Durham have their own carer's card. But they're very, you can't always tell, and people aren't always signed up to this. But if you know the family well, you know that they might say something casually about caring for somebody. If they will be caring for people, and that's where just listening carefully to what they say, if you're having a conversation, then you can quickly find out. You can then have a conversation about how to help. I mean, that's slightly different for Sally's organisation. It's much more straightforward, I imagine, Sally.
Yes.
Than this is if you have a local shop.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's been, I think, for us, because we've always included, because we were based on the staff shop model, so we've always allowed NHS, fire, police, and people that work on the food manufacturer sites into store. But it's kind of recognising that we've left a whole group out by accident. So they're looking at sort of how things have changed and how really we should have had carers as part of our membership from the beginning. I think it is that service that you're right. NHS is very easy to identify, but carers, as a business, it's been a bit more challenging to sort of work out how we identify carers. And also the group as a whole are not necessarily, you know, wanting to disclose a whole load of family circumstances, and why would you? We have another social impact model called Community Shop, and so we are used to working with people sort of on low income and on some sort of benefit. And often we find it quite challenging to get that information out. So Company Shop can be quite straightforward, but I think I understand the last point made that, you know, you don't always want to tell your whole life story to somebody you meet who's asking you to qualify for membership for something.
Sure. And I guess for our sector, for local shops, I think what a lot of the benefit comes in with is the relationships that the retailers and the staff have with the local community. It's quite rare that people will come in and they won't know anything about who they are. Emma, we've done some work with yourselves throughout this year about really focusing on retailers and their staff becoming dementia friends and helping people that are living with dementia directly. But how important is the relationship between the local shop and the people that are caring for those who are living with dementia?
Yeah, it's a lifeline. I was going to say, from the ACS, the Association of Convenience Stores, own report last year, there was 23% of ACS colleagues who care for other family members. And I think that you do see that with convenience stores, that they're a community hub. They provide that vital, they know their customers, they know their customers' families, they know around, they have a kind of daily or weekly interaction with them, which just isn't the same in other parts of retail. And I think with what we've seen with this, it's just a lovely partner that we've had with the ACS, is that so many people across the country in convenience stores are providing a lifeline for people with dementia. They're helping that person to remain independent, to remain in their own home, be comfortable and supported to live the life that they want to lead. And that's the simple things from potentially, if maybe they forget to pay for something, having a running cab with a family member, or if they maybe come in on their own and usually they come in with a carer. We've had lovely stories around shop staying and kind of people chatting with somebody with dementia until their family member to come and pick them up. So it is just, they're a vital key part of the community, and sometimes they're the only service point in a town or village, and it's crucial to keeping people independent. And people say people with dementia, 80% list shopping as their favourite activity, and 2/3 of people with dementia live in the community. So it's critical that we support people, and it's critical that we support their carers to support them as well.
Yeah, and it's not, I guess, the part of the reason why shopping is the favourite activity for a lot of people is it's not actually the products, is it? It's the social interaction. It's being able to have a conversation with someone. And I've previously thought about that from vulnerable people and people suffering with disabilities themselves, and the fact that they might not get that many other conversations through the day. But I guess actually for carers as well, having that extra conversation, because if you're caring 24/7 for someone who's vulnerable or has a disability, and then, you know, perhaps for yourself, you might only get to speak to other people when you're in a shop. That's really important, isn't it?
It is really important. And I think what Emma said is also right. If you're caring for somebody and they know the person that you're caring for, actually that they get treated with respect and are helped is an enormous positive for the rest of the family as well. So it is very social. And I think it would also be true to say that perhaps even if you might know somebody well, you might know the carer well, they always tell you different things, but they might not be aware of the range of services that you might be offering as a local shop. So from personal experience, things like home deliveries for people, outside of COVID and outside of the pandemic, have managed to keep families independent for longer, and certainly members of my family. And so that was, you know, that's really important. So there may be other ways to help people. And families also worry about what happens if something happens to me or I can't come in, etc. So some of this might just be planning, you know, helping to reduce people's worry about how they might deal with a situation and could be potentially providing a very reliable service.
Yeah, and it's a really good point you make actually about making others aware and making local authorities aware and making other charities aware. We've got a retail services checklist for retailers who can fill out, send to their local authority, send to other charities like Alzheimer's Society to say these are the services we offer, including things like home delivery, which has seen a massive spike in COVID. But I think, as you said, it's about doing that when it's most needed, which has been in the pandemic, but also that long-term impact, because it's quite easy for retailers to get lost when we're back into what will become a perhaps normal trading. It's easy to forget those things and to forget those links. So I guess it's really important that we keep this momentum up, especially with things like those lines of communications between stores and charities and authorities. Thinking about that long-term impact, Emily, you've been obviously really, really busy this week with Carers Week. What can we take from the Carers Week activity that can, you know, last us further on into the future?
I think the first thing would say, maybe ask Emma to come in on the back of this as well. I think the first thing is awareness of people who are providing unpaid care. It's so important, and I would say that goes hand in hand sometimes with some of the excellent work that Alzheimer's Society does around dementia friends, and understanding some conditions makes a real difference. Increased awareness is helpful, and then the practical changes that people can make. Quite often carers aren't, say, oh, people don't ask how I am. If you have time to ask somebody how they are, that is it's very welcome. And the sorts of services and support that convenience stores can help with family can make a huge difference. So going on, I hope that we can build on this practical support, some of the identification, some of the things that Sally is talking about. Emma, do you want to say anything as well about what your hopes are for what we've all achieved during Carers Week and what we want to go forward?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's so important for awareness. And coming from a personal perspective, I was a young carer for quite a while, and I had no idea. I think what you were saying earlier around people do not see themselves as a carer. Sometimes it's seen as a really formal word. They say, I'm not paid. And actually, they're maybe just doing what they've always done for somebody they love. And so, yeah, Carers Week is incredibly important around raising awareness around all of the unpaid carers, the millions across the country who are doing so much to help people. And I think it's been interesting the past couple of months with this kind of situation that it's shown that communication is just a key thing. It's being communicated around what kind of support people need, but also signposting people. We've seen amazing work with convenience stores, making sure that people are getting the support they need, raising concerns if they're worried about maybe somebody who comes in. And it's a vital service so many people, especially as they get older, maybe don't have access to the internet. Some people can't afford the access to the internet. So they need support in different ways. And you've got somebody, a kind of social kind of hub, who's keeping an eye out for people and making sure people are kind of, yeah, they're supported. And it's a more personalised service. And what's been quite interesting with the challenges that maybe different groups of disabilities and vulnerabilities have had during COVID with shopping is that some of that personalisation has been lost. Some of the kind of support which they previously had isn't available. And we haven't seen that so much with convenience stores, because they can be more tailored, they can be more bespoke, and it is just a kind of an easier sort of service which people do kind of, they're more comfortable going. So kind of past couple of months to see just, yeah, what the really lovely stories around what people have been doing.
Yeah, and Sally, so you've obviously adapted your business to support carers. What's the feedback been like so far?
It's been absolutely brilliant, really, really welcome. And I was going to say, when you were talking about activities, you know, one of people's top activities has been shopping. I've spoken to quite a few people recently who've said that during COVID that's been quite challenging, because where you normally have a nice relaxed browse through a store, because of the social distancing, you feel quite pressured and quite time bound. So I think that's quite interesting that it's not sort of the same experience potentially that it was. But regarding the question of how has it been received, it's been really well received, really, really well received. And I'm really, you know, glad that we can obviously offer membership to the carers group, which is obviously very, very vital and essential within our society.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I would say to any retailer that's on the fence about, you know, the extra, I guess, what is deemed to be, you know, hassle of asking people about being carers and all that sort of thing, and if they have any reservations, I mean, it is absolutely worth it, because it does positively impact people's lives. And I think we've, you know, we've heard that throughout this discussion. It really does make a difference. I'm gonna wrap it up there. I'll just finish with you, Emily. For anyone looking for more information about supporting carers, obviously we've got our supporting unpaid carers guidance on our website. But if people want to go further, where can they go for more information?
Well, if they themselves are juggling work and care, or have a relative that they're caring for, then they can go to Carers UK's website, which is caresuk.org. But of course, if you have a relative with dementia, or you're worried about them getting forgetful, then the specialists on that are our friends at Alzheimer's Society, who have a whole wealth of wonderful information to help you through that journey, you and your family through that journey. I'm going to hand over to Emma to give the website out.
Yeah, if anybody ever needs any support, if you're concerned about a customer, a loved one, or a member of the public, alzheimers.org.uk. And then also same with Carers UK, we've got a helpline. So if you ever need to kind of get in touch with either organisation, please do ring us. And our helplines are open all week and weekends. And it's 0333 150 3456.
Great. And finally, Sally, for anyone looking for more information from Company Shop or indeed Community Shop, where's the best place to go for that?
Yeah, if you just type Company Shop in, you'll get the website. It's www.companyshopgroup.co.uk, and you will find details of how to apply for membership on there.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much to the three of you for joining this discussion. Hopefully this will be just the start of even more retailers being aware of carers and helping them in the communities. Of course, it's already going on at the moment, but any more attention we can get on this issue is absolutely positive. So really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Really great to have Emma, Emily and Sally there talking about carers and the importance of carers. I'll just highlight again our new Supporting Unpaid Carers guidance. You can find that on the website. It's acs.org.uk, and as I said, really important that as we emerge from lockdown and we get to some sense of normality, that we keep up the momentum about supporting carers and supporting those that are more vulnerable, because, you know, it's important all the way through the year, not just in a crisis. Now, the discussion this week on local radio is a little bit different to usual. We've been talking for the last 8 or 9 weeks since the start of lockdown about the really important positive things that convenience stores have been doing in lockdown to support their customers and support local people through things like home deliveries, through additional hours for vulnerable staff, all that kind of thing, and getting some really good traction locally. But this week we are talking about Sunday trading. So a bit less of a positive story. This is something that we really need to pay some attention to at the moment, because the government is considering the future of Sunday trading hours in some sort of hope to boost the economy, which of course it won't. There is no link, obviously, between the number of hours that stores are open and the amount of money that people have in their pockets. But I won't go too far into the argument. I will let James Lohman, who's been talking about this to local stations, fill you in more with a bit of the detail.
I'm joined by James Lohman, CEO of the Association of Convenience Stores. James, is there any evidence that any changes by the government would boost the economy?
No, I don't think there is very strong evidence that this would be a pro-jobs or pro-growth move. Back in 2012, the government liberalised Sunday trading laws for the duration of the London Olympics. And what we saw over that time is actually a 0.2% decline in retail sales over that period. And that's because the sales simply displace across more hours. So the same number of sales spread over more hours, which actually adds to the costs of those retailers.
And do you think there's any appetite amongst the public for a relaxation of the Sunday trading rules?
Well, we've been surveying consumers for a number of years, and the last poll we conducted was in May of this year, so right in the heart of the coronavirus crisis, a poll with Populous, and that showed that 58% of the public support the current restrictions where you have six consecutive hours on the Sunday. Only 21% of the public would like to see the laws changed. And actually, most of them would like to see fewer opening hours rather than more hours. So the government's looking in the wrong place here in terms of what the public are supportive of. Why did the public feel that? Well, I think it's because the rules at the moment provide a balance between the needs of shop workers, who are obviously crucial to this, but also the needs of consumers, needs of large stores, small stores. And we found ourselves with this balance that I think really works for everyone. So we don't think it needs to be changed at the moment.
Now, you represent your members, the smaller stores. What would be the impact on them if the rules were relaxed?
There'll be a really significant impact on small stores, because we operate often in neighbourhoods, housing estates, villages, those sorts of secondary areas. And being open for a little bit longer than the supermarkets on a Sunday morning and Sunday evening is a really important boost for those stores. And really, it's one of the things that means we can be viable and trading for 7 days a week. So that's one of the compromises that works really well. It keeps communities with those stores operating all the time by just the very minor restriction on the operating hours of the largest stores.
So how can people get involved if they want to support your campaign?
Well, the campaign, which is a grouping of people like ourselves, representing smaller stores and smaller businesses, unions, groups that are particularly focused on the family and family life, we come together under the name of Keep Sunday Special. So if on social media people want to use that hashtag Keep Sunday Special, that's a way of showing your support and hopefully continuing to generate momentum in favour of maintaining this popular compromise around Sunday trading hours.
Thanks to James there. Keep an eye out for your local radio stations playing that out over the next week or so. I think it's really important that the public are aware of what's going on with Sunday trading, because of course majority are in favour of rules staying as they are, so any momentum we can get is great. We have a specific ask for you though. If you're a retailer and you're listening, we need you to write to your MP to say, look, this is not good, obviously. So the thing to do is to go, the easiest way to do it, go to our website, acs.org.uk. On the front page there, there will be a link which says Sunday trading. If you click on that, you can then put your postcode in. It will generate a letter for you. You just have to put your own address in, your own name in, and it will send it off to your MP. The number of letters and correspondence we can get going to MPs in this next couple of weeks is really important in showing that there is proper opposition to this measure, because if the government were to change Sunday trading hours to you know, get rid of them altogether, or even to say that they were getting rid of them for just a year, I think we all know what that actually means, and that means a longer term period, and that's not what anyone wants. So please go to acs.org.uk, click on Sunday trading on the homepage, and write to your MP. That's it from me for this week's episode of the Local Shop Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to get episodes before anyone else, and please follow us on Twitter @localshoppod.